Welcome to CEOCF Podcast.
Hello, it's Van. Welcome to our new series of podcasts.
Thank you for having me.
You are a member at CEOCF for more than 10 years. And in few words, can you tell me what you are doing here?
My background, I learned or trained to be a cryptography engineer, which is nothing to do with dead people. It's about encrypting information and hiding information and other things. So anything which comes with cryptography. And then I came up with an idea for an end-to-end encrypted content collaboration platform. We set up a company and very early phase, we raised a lot of money, hired people and went on the international market. Now, this company is a multinational company having offices in Munich, Zurich, and Budapest. And recently, we have been acquired by Swiss Post. And what we're doing, we are selling a high-end security place or encrypted place in the cloud to collaborate with high-end security information. Just to give you an example, we have publicly listed companies, over a billion euro capitalization, whose board getting the reports, the pre-earnings data before it goes to public, getting the data through Trezorit. And there is also companies where this type of information, the pre-earnings data, can only be stored in Trezorit. So what we're selling, this ultra-secure content collaboration platform.
I wanted to know in what CEOCF helps you in your career.
CEOCF for me is a platform to learn. It's a kind of MBA program, learning about the real problems of other companies in real life from the people who are facing with those problems and getting advice from leaders. And I joined CEOCF when I was 23. As the CEO of a newly founded company. I'm still a member. And during this 10 years, I use CEOCF also asking for advice for my problems. But most of the cases, I was using the platform to learn, to know more about business problems, because those case studies, the member challenges, and the way how we help each other, even though that I was not facing at that time with that type of challenge, I could put it in a safe deposit box in my head and take it out when I need it later in the future. So when I was facing similar problem, I already know a real life case study and I already knew a few people who faced with that. So that's what I'm using CEOCF for.
How did you come up with this idea of their own knowledge, end-to-end encrypted content collaboration of your platform?
It was, as I mentioned, I started this as a student, as a project, and I was learning about cryptography engineering. And I faced with a problem that I wanted to store my pictures somewhere, and I uploaded to Google Picasa. Now it's Google Photos or something. And it immediately recognized the faces of many, many people. Then I freaked out, like, who has the power? I mean, they have so much power. I mean, it was 10 years ago, and they were giving that sort of service for end users. What information they may even gain, what they don't share with me from my pictures. And I said, no, I don't want that. I don't want that company who's having the biggest computation power and the smartest people to mine data from my private data. And I said, okay, I want to have a safe place in the cloud. I want to create a safe place. First, I was looking for a safe place and then realized there is little or no such service. So I decided that I should do one. That was the idea.
What is the best and the worst part of being a CEO for you?
The best thing that I love being part of many projects or many things at the same time. And then my way of working is that I can switch topics. I can be in finance and legal and other things. And I love that I need to connect the dots between those problems, different type of departments. That's intellectually refreshing, and this intellectual itch that I always need to, you know, find a solution through people, through a team, and not just me, but inside a good team, it's a great. And it's also that, again, I just mentioned the team, being able to work with great and smart people and seeing them that, you know, they're coming up with the solution at the end of the day. It's great. And I'm proud that I could be the leader of them. I'm proud that I have a team which moves mountains if they need me to. The worst part is that most of the problems, we are alone as CEOs. Because the type of problems, because we see, I think, much more from the organization than anyone else do. I mean, not necessarily much more, I would say on a different way, on a connected way, that leads to conclusions which may not others see. And with those conclusions, we are alone. We cannot talk it. We cannot share it with our team. We cannot share it with our boards necessarily. Those worries, those things, because it might shoot back. Or thinking about how to share, how to frame up this sort of conclusion of, if these two things are happening and these three things will happen, then something very bad can happen with the company. And that worry is being always being on our shoulder. And it's hard to find someone who have a similar weight on the shoulder and to connect to that person and really tell them. So that's the hardest part, that most of our work, even though we're working within teams, with our own problems, we're alone.
What is the biggest challenge you have faced in your career?
So my biggest challenge was a couple of years ago, or not necessarily the biggest challenge, but one of my biggest challenges was that we were growing very fast. We raised good money and we were investing it into sales and marketing. And we were increasing the size of sales and marketing team close to 5 times in a year. And it turned out that it doesn't work. It doesn't get back the investment what we were, or it's not inducing the growth what we were hoping for. And we didn't see it will do, so that we didn't even see an early signs of manifestation for investment. So it wasn't like okay, there are good projects in, or there are good sales pipeline, but we haven't closed it yet. I'm pretty sure the revenue will grow. No, it wasn't like that. And we couldn't decide why it was not happening. It was because we were not hiring the right people. We were not hiring them on the right structure, or were fundamental assumptions about the market and how we can tackle, go after the market was wrong. But something was wrong. And we needed to make a decision to scale down that team. And we needed to fire a lot of people. And as a founder, that was something like a decision which I needed to make. It was a decision, something like cutting my leg or cutting one of my arm and making a decision when you were realizing, okay, that's the only way to survive. But it's still, you need to cut down your leg. It's bad. And that was, I think, it was a huge challenge. And we needed to fire a lot of good people, talented people, which came for a lot of people as a surprise. For others, was not, because they were seeing this. This is not leading anywhere. For a sales person, if they are not meeting with their quota for multiple consecutive quarters, they know what's coming. And for others, it was not clear. And what I learned from this is that we need to, I don't know whether this is the right conclusion, but this is what I draw from that. And I'll try to act upon this. But I try to communicate in front of the people what's going to come next and not wait until the very last moments, because then there will be a surprise sort of cut and firing, and that it's a big shock to the team. So the communicating why, where we are standing, what's our assumptions, and also explaining what it means, what those numbers, profitability, what those growth rates mean, and what happens if it doesn't come. Not frightened, not try to blackmail or feel like that, but tell the clear consequences. And not on not try to frame it that it's not a frightening way, because we just focus on the good side, but at the same time knowing that it doesn't happen, what they're risking, we're risking on. So that's what I learned from that. But it's a pretty tough situation.
From this challenge, how did you or your team measure the success of the change?
Well, yeah. So after this change, obviously, what we were monitoring that how much we invest into sales and marketing and how much we get back from that. So that we call it months to recover in a subscription business. This is basically that if we invest €1,000 in sales and marketing, and then we get, let's say, €100 MRR, monthly recurring revenue, that means 10 months to recover. The €100 will come back on a monthly subscription in 10 months, what you invested in that. And then we were monitoring that before, and it was skyrocketing, of course, because that was the problem. But when we were implementing that change, this obviously, because of the cost reduction, this went down. But also the cost reduction, next to the cost reduction, we did an operational change, simplified the team. And that also meant, that was another realization, that we hired too many people, that created a chaos, which was blocking the people. So that there were, like, we had less than 10 people before in sales and marketing, and then suddenly we had 50. And just imagine the communication problems between those people, and that was blocking. So the organization was blocking itself. And then after we reduced the size, the communication problems started to be solved. And then things were actually, it was interesting to see. We spent less and we got more revenue. Things started to work. Things started because we can accomplish projects. So sometimes over hiring can be very a bad thing if there is no excellent structure, organizational structure for that. And that's when we were looking at the numbers. The new sales were going up, cost obviously went down, so that was good. But we were carrying of the weight of the previous this decision. That was we still have that.
Our last question to finish this interview: what are your goals right now?
I have multiple goals. First is a professional goal. We just joined the family of Swiss Post, and I want to make sure that my baby is getting to the right place. And I'm pretty sure that Swiss Post is the right place for that. But I just want to make sure that it's also positioned inside Swiss Post and the right place, and then also the connections are good so that it can flourish within the Swiss Post group. That's my sort of next project, that leaving at some point, I'll leave Treasury. I mean, it's for a simple reason, and I'm simple mortal, and a company can be immortal, an organization can be immortal if we do it right. And this is my mission right now, that leaving behind a company which can work without me, without the other founders, if needed. We don't necessarily want that, but making sure that this work started in the connections with inside a larger family has been started, and not being abandoned after the acquisition. So that have put Treasury on a success path with inside Swiss Post as well. And the other thing is simply family, and spending more time with my family and enjoying life with them. That's my second goal.
Good goals. I hope you will achieve them.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation to our podcast, and have a good day.
Thank you. Take care.